Hello and welcome once again to Big Giant Booms Podcast. This is week 9. My name is Frank Gray. I'm the editor-in-chief of Big Giant Boom. And I'm going to be filling in today for Jim Mancari and Tom Udo, who are a little bit busy this week. So I'm going to try not to mess up too badly. We are going to be tackling a few different topics this week. And contrary to popular belief, even though baseball season has just started out and everyone's wrapped up with the Yankees and the Mets, the Giants still are doing a lot of things right now. There's a lot of news in the NFL going on. There's a lot going on in the Giants news. And the defending champions, as always, are a very busy team. So without any further ado, let's get right into it. Now, normally, I would start in a week in review kind of format, but as I'm recording this, there's actually some breaking news going on, and that breaking news is that the New York Giants are trading their fifth-round pick for this year's 2012 NFL draft at the end of this month with the Cincinnati Bengals for outside linebacker Keith Rivers. They're announcing that probably later tomorrow, which will be Thursday, or Friday at the latest, and that will be for a fifth-round draft pick. They are also announcing the signing of a veteran offensive lineman, Sean Locklear, and he's probably going to be putting a lot of pressure on some of the other offensive linemen, such as Dave Deal or James Brewer, probably Kareem McKenzie, who's not expected to return. That would be a good option for the Giants to be able to go in as far as not to overpay for McKenzie, but because they can underpay for somebody like Sean Locklear, who is not really that bad of an option, to be honest with you. And he can compete for one of the backup roles in the offensive line and try to solidify that line. As far as Keith Rivers is concerned, he's still fairly young. He's 25 years old. He's 6'2". He's played outside linebacker for primarily the first 4 years of his career. He's missed all last season with a wrist injury. So he's actually one of those players that the Giants may be taking a chance on just to see how healthy and how effective he's going to be when he comes back. And if he does come back healthy, to be honest with you, there's not really any indication that it's going to be a lingering health issue, but, you know, of course, that's what physicals are for. And the year before, when he actually did play, he had 77 tackles. So he can get the job done at the linebacker position. He didn't have any interceptions or anything of that nature, so whether or not his pass coverage abilities are going to be called into question, we'll see. But he is definitely going to be a veteran addition to a young linebacker corps that may or may not have Jonathan Goff coming back, and that will have a second-year Mark Herzlich there, Greg Jones there, Michael Boley. He may still be mentioned as a middle linebacker possibility, possibly platooning in that position with Rivers. We're going to see how this linebacker corps shapes out, but you still have Kiwanuka there. You have Williams and Paysinger, who basically are going to be backups at this point. Maybe Williams might emerge as a starter or in a platoon position, but this is a position that the Giants really have need in, and that might be one of those spots in the draft, the fifth round, maybe even the fourth, where they might have ended up going for a linebacker anyway, because all signs point to them not going for a linebacker this year that early, the first or second round. They have far more pressing needs, a running back, tight end, offensive lineman, and yes, we are the defending champions, but that doesn't mean that we don't have some holes to fill, and especially as the free agency has depleted our roster and absolutely killed our returning chemistry and the core group of that defense. So that's the biggest news right now going on. Going backtracking now into the rest of the week. We started the week talking about the bounty scandals and all that, and how it goes into across the board to every team. And there was reports earlier in the week where our own New York Giants own legend, Carl Banks, was talking about how in his day, it was just common knowledge that players would try to take out another player, but not in a sense to injure them, but to maybe just take them out of the game, out of sync in the rhythm, out of, you know, for a quarterback anyway, take them out of rhythm, for a receiver to take them out of their route so that they don't run the right routes, if they're not where they need to be when the ball is delivered, for a defensive player that they're not in position to make a tackle, you know, when you double team someone, things of that nature. That's what Carl Banks was really talking about. And our own Adam Carman went into that very topic earlier this week, with a really wonderful article, well-written article, called Bounty Hunters Anonymous. So please, if you have a couple minutes, log on to BigGiantsBoom.com and check out Adam's article on that. And you're going to find a lot of information, including the link to Banks' original statement, the audio of his original statement that will be found on a link there. But then I'm going to be talking about the bounty incident and all the ramifications of that in a little while, in a couple of minutes, when I get into the NFL news. But as the week went on, we lost a couple more free agents. As we all know by now, Devin Thomas went to the Chicago Bears. And one of the more surprising signings to me was Dave Tollefson, one of our big players for depth for that starting defensive line, signed a two-year deal with the Raiders. And I think he's going to be missed. I don't think he's going to be able to get a chance to really start with the Raiders. He may see some time in the same position that he had with the Giants, where he would platoon, he would fill in on certain downs or in certain situations, and maybe not be as effective as the money that he signed for might want, and what his prestige of two Super Bowl rings might want him to be able to play for. But you know, we all wish him good luck, and hopefully at some point in his career he decides that this was a mistake and he comes back to Big Blue and goes back in that role that he was there for the past few years. Maybe we get another ring with good old Dave Tollefson. He's a good guy and he's had a lot of fans, so we all wish him well here. Now, two other stories that I believe are related broke this week, and they both concern Jason Witten, the tight end of the Dallas Cowboys. And one of them is concerning our new free agent tight end acquisition, Martellus Bennett. And Witten actually went on record as to say that Martellus is a good fit with the Giants. He says that he spent years in Dallas's offense learning that system, and that Dallas has a similar system to the Giants. And I'll keep that in mind because that goes right into our second story concerning Witten. But that the offense that the Cowboys have is pretty similar to the Giants. And that Bennett was an excellent pass blocker and an excellent run blocker, but when he was able to go out into formations and make catches, that he has the ability to make big plays out of that, much like Jake Ballard was able to do this past season. And Ballard, as we all know, is recovering from knee surgery, and he's probably not going to be back until, at the earliest, middle of next season. Travis Beckham, on the other hand, though, is talking about coming back early next season, hopefully by the end of preseason, beginning of the regular season. So if he does, and he's able to make a good comeback like that, healthy and back to form. Him combined with Bennett and combined with Bear Pasco, that's going to be a pretty good combination for Eli Manning to be able to use in the middle of the passing zones against opposing linebackers and against D linemen who have to drop back, and against safeties that decide to over blitz and let the tight end go right by them. So the second story that I want to discuss about Witten is that he came out with a comment that his Cowboys have a similar offense to what the Giants have been running, and therefore he feels, and this is just a sign, I'm sure, of in his local area of putting a positive spin on things and trying to show support for his downtrodden quarterback, who everyone there is getting on, and rightfully so, by the way, Tony Romo. But he said that he sees no reason why the Cowboys can't do exactly what the Giants have done in the last 4 years, because they have the right guy at quarterback to do just that. Just like the Giants had the right guy at quarterback and the same type of offense that they have with the Giants, the Cowboys have there too. And that with that certain type of offense and that personnel mixture and that chemistry, that Tony Romo is the right man for the job. Well, Tony Romo wasn't the right man for the job the last two out of four games of this past season, was he? No. And apparently the Giants did what they needed to do with Tony Romo head-to-head. And time will tell, but I know that comment from Witten got a lot of Giants fans in uproar, and they wanted to have extra motivation, especially some of our fans who are in the Texas area, and one of our writers, Alyssa Franklin, G-Man girl, who is from that area, has to deal with those Cowboy fans every day. Like I have to deal with the Eagles fans living where I live in South Jersey. And it can get really taxing. It can get trying, but you know what? In the end, it's all about what have you done for me lately. And take heart, my friends in Texas and surrounding areas that you have to deal with the Cowboy fans. If you're a Giants fan, you're listening to this podcast, and you have to deal with those fans, take heart. Because when the next time we play those Dallas Cowboys, it's our rings that we're showing off to them, not their former 1990s Super Bowl rings, the early 90s with three guys who were retired and one of them who actually rightfully shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame anyway. That's a different story. But take heart. Because it's what have you done for me lately? And lately, we're the champs. Two out of the last 4 years, we're the champions. I don't care what you say about records in the regular season. Regular season does not matter. Regular season head-to-head, we went head-to-head with the Cowboys. We beat them two times out of the last four games. We took the division. Head-to-head is what counts. And head-to-head, my friends, is what you can go back and find to see what Romo has been able to do. And that's going to be what's telling of his career. And I think Jason Witten's going to end up regretting those words, because when everyone's going after him for saying that, after Romo's had another bad season, he's going to recognize that, no, they don't have the right guy. The Giants do have the right guy in two-time Super Bowl MVP, Eli, Elite Man. Okay, next topic. The Giants have announced their preseason schedule. Week one is going to be at Jacksonville, and that's going to be an interesting matchup because Tom Coughlin is going to be coming back to Jacksonville with his second Super Bowl ring, and they're going through a lot of changes right now. So first preseason game really isn't that much hype. You're going to see a lot of rookies, a lot of people that you don't really know too much. Week two at the Jets. You might as well say that's a home game for us. That's our first home game. But it's technically at the Jets. And if Victor Cruz plays in that game, you better believe Rex Ryan's going to be having a heart attack at some point. We're going to be seeing another salsa dance in the preseason. And they're going to once again show the Jets whose house that is at the Giants Stadium. Week 3 is going to be our first official home game for the preseason. It's going to be the Chicago Bears. Now, the last time they played in the preseason, the Giants lost to Earl Thomas, and Marvin Austin and Brian Witherspoon to season-ending injuries. Because the Bears are not a team to be taken lightly, and they take those preseason games just as seriously as they take the regular season games. And they're a hard-hitting team, so that's one of those games where I think you're going to see the offense in the most of their snaps, the starting offense take most of their snaps, and you're going to see most of what we're going to see for the 2012 season in that game. But it's going to be a tough task. And again, it's only preseason, so it's going to be more about continuity, more about flow, more about execution than anything else. Now, week 4, it's going to be against the New England Patriots. It's hardly going to be a Super Bowl rematch, folks. This is going to be one of those games where they rest a lot of starters, or those starters only go a quarter or two just to make sure that they don't really get banged up, just to make sure that they're in a little bit of a rhythm, that they stay hot and they don't get on one of those cold week offs, kind of cold spells like we see with playoff teams when they have a bye week and they come back the first game and they lose horribly and everyone wonders what happened. Well, they were a number one seed. Well, because they had a week off and they end up losing traction. Well, that same thing can happen in the preseason as well. If you have your starters sitting out for a whole game and then a week off, by week 1, they're rusty. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, next up, I want to talk about the Giants draft rumors, because there's been one player in particular, but three different positions rumored to be in the Giants' sights for that first round pick. The player is Stanford's tight end, Kobe Fleener. He was the big go-to option for Andrew Luck. He's probably one of the main reasons that Andrew Luck is even close to being at the status he is as the number one draft pick to be in the end of this month. Now, he is by far the best tight end on the board by the time the Giants will pick. So the question is going to be, is he going to be available? And if he is, they have to take him. But Jerry Reese and company have build a reputation in their draft that they take the best available player, whether that's an offensive lineman, whether it's a running back, whether it's a corner. It doesn't matter. If it's the best player on the board, doesn't have to necessarily fit a need. In the first round, if it's the best player, they're going to go for it. That's how we got Prince last year, and because he fell down to us. That's what Jerry Reese does, folks. And that's how we got JPP. He was the best player at the time, such raw talent, and people passed on him. He came down to the Giants, and the rest is history. Just ask the Dallas Cowboys what they think of JPP. You know, and they'll tell you, you know, block field goal later, you know, he's the real deal, and he's only getting better. That's scary, folks. So one of the other two positions, obviously, that people were talking about is running back. Since we've lost Brandon Jacobs, and since one of our running backs, who I'm not even going to go into this, was suspended for the first 4 games, they're not looking at him for any kind of production. They have Bradshaw, and they have a couple other running backs that they can go to. But if they get a good running back, let's say they get a running back like a Trent Richardson, which would be a dream. He's not going to be there, obviously, but a big guy who's fast and explosive. Somebody more like Boise State's Doug Martin or Miami's Lamar Miller. One of those guys that is explosive, but they're going to be there for the bottom of the first round, top of the second round, possibly. So it's going to come down to whether or not the Giants really think that the three running backs they have on their roster right now, including Bradshaw, are the real deal, and that's the combination that they want to go with. But if they want to try to groom one other running back for the next few years to match up with Bradshaw, to get that thunder and lightning kind of scenario that they've had for so many years, because this is a league where you need two running backs. So time will tell, and the draft is not too far away. It's April 26th through 28th. We're going to be doing a mock draft on Big Giants Boom. You can follow us on Facebook, Big Giants Boom. Follow us on Twitter, Big Giants Boom. We have all the information coming up on that. We're going to be releasing our mock draft on the podcast, and we're going to be trying to put it into a series of articles for you. And we're going to try to get more in depth in our coverage with the NFL draft as it approaches. Now I'm going to go on to NFL news, and I'm only going to hit two topics on the NFL news circuit here. One is New Orleans Saints. Actually, they both kind of are related to the New Orleans Saints. One's the New Orleans Saints bounty scandal. And again, I have to point back to Adam Carman's outstanding article, Bounty Hunters Anonymous, on our site, BigGiantsBoom.com. And he goes into all that. And the big announcement this past week was that the league upheld the suspension for head coach and former Giants coach, Sean Payton. And that also means that there's going to be a vacancy for this coming season as their head coach. Well, rumors have been swirling for a few weeks now that Bill Parcells, Tuna, former Giants coach, great, was interested in taking that. His actual quote, and I'm paraphrasing here, was that if he were given the offer, he would certainly have to be intrigued. And that's not necessarily saying, yeah, he's interested, and he would jump at it. But he would say, yeah, I have to be intrigued about it. And who in their right mind wouldn't be intrigued by that offer? That explosive offense with Drew Brees, and, you know, that the defense, you know, the opportunistic passing game that they have, and the great job they do in the secondary, and the great job they do in kick return and punt returning. So, you know, he would have to be interested. Any coach would have to be interested, especially if they're not working right now. But to me, you know, that was neither here nor there. I think he was just being polite when he said it. And thank the football gods that he finally is rumored to have turned it down. So that's going to be, now that they've upheld the suspension, Sean Payton's not going to be there, and Bill Parcells is not going to be there. I think Parcells is looking to get into the Hall of Fame, and I remember reading on ESPN.com and a few other sources that when he was up for election for the Hall of Fame, that some of the discussion that lasted so long, about an hour, hour and a half, on just him, was that he was jumping from team to team as a coach, and that lack of consistency on one team had hurt his chances. So I think if he had went to the Saints, that might have further hurt his chances. So he might be eyeing the Hall of Fame more importantly than eyeing getting back into coaching. Okay, so we're going to go to our mailbag, and we only have one question for today's segment of the mailbag, and it's by one of my favorite fans of all time that is a fan of Big Giants Boom, and that is actually a friend of mine from various media sites, G. Diva Josie. She asks Big Giants Boom, do we see Hakeem Nicks retiring as the New York Giant? G. Diva, I'm so sorry to say this. I don't think so. I think we're going to be able to sign a long term, but in today's NFL, it's so difficult for one player to stay with one team for 10 to 15 years, because after you get 7 or 8 year career out of them, you know, that team has, and they're still demanding the big money, but that team has to move on. They have to start saying, you know, we drafted so-and-so, we have this guy, we have this rookie, we got this big next phenom ready to come up and take that spot. So it would be nice to see him go out like an Amani Toomer, But more so, it's probably going to end up being like a, I don't want to say a Steve Smith situation where he wins a ring with us and, you know, and fails to sign a big contract. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be more like he signs the big contract with the Giants, and then the following big free agency period, that's when he goes somewhere else. And maybe he returns to the Giants for the last year or two of his career, and, you know, hopefully that in-between stint only lasts three years or so with another team, and we don't have to deal with him too much in another uniform. So thank you very much for that question. Please feel free to email us with your questions at biggiantsboom@gmail.com, or you can always go on our Facebook page. We're at Big Giants Boom on Facebook. Just look us up. Put your question up on our wall. If you have a Twitter account, follow us at Big Giants Boom on Twitter. Send us a message on the Twitter account. You can also email it to me personally, Frank Gray. I'm at nyfaninsjersey@yahoo.com. We really do want you to send them to our Gmail, though, biggiantsboom@gmail.com. But in case you want to get to me personally, if you want to advertise with us on our site, if you want to be a writer, we're always looking for great writers, people who are serious, that love our Giants, that bleed blue. Please feel free to email us either at biggiantsboom@gmail or nyfaninsjersey@yahoo.com. And again, follow us on Twitter, Big Giants Boom, or follow us on Facebook, Big Giants Boom. And feel free to go to our site, biggiantsboom.com. We have a great poll up right now. Which position should the Giants draft in round one? And we're going to be bringing up the answer to this in the next couple weeks as it closes out. There's 17 days left to vote. And right now, offensive lineman is winning handily. The options are tight end, running back, middle linebacker, cornerback or safety, and offensive lineman. If you think we as the Giants should draft one of those other positions, log on to our site. It's on the right-hand side. Cast your vote. They have 17 days left to vote. Make your voice heard. And tune in next week for the next podcast. Feel free to email us, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And until next time, have a big blue week, everybody.